I have used a lot of commerce platforms in the past. By far, the most robust is Shopify. No matter how complex your business needs and no matter how large your business grows, Shopify can handle it. And they do handle it for brands like Rothy's, Ruggable, Allbirds, Knox, Magnolia, Brooklinen, Glossier, and Cotton, to name a few. You may already use another e-commerce platform and you may be super unhappy with it, but you've already put a lot of work into it and migrating to Shopify could seem impossible. But I'm here to tell you that it is quite easy. When I migrated to Shopify back in 2022, their apps and tools meant I just had to make a few clicks and everything was ported over as if by magic. Shopify also lets you design your storefront however you like, which from personal experience I know isn't the case for many other commerce platforms out there. All these features and all this control can result in more sales more often. So stop leaving sales on the table. Switch your business to Shopify today and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their businesses. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/practical, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/practical. shopify.com/practical. Morning, Prakaptan. Welcome back. Procrastination, the mental health symptom we all seem to have these days, coupled, of course, with the exhaustion of not being able to afford a house because, oh my God, have you seen house prices? Yikes! What do I have to do? Sell a leg to afford one of these things? And if so, who do I sell my leg to? It's not even a very good leg to begin with. Would it even get me 20% down? Or would I still have to go the FHA route? Maybe if I throw in an arm. Oh, sorry. Anyway, this episode isn't about housing or fencing mediocre limbs on the black market. It's about the exact thing I'm doing right now, which is procrastinating, getting to the point. The Stoics didn't, I don't think, call procrastination procrastination. They probably called it living like a fool. They had a solve for it, too. Memento mori. Remember that you must die. Or literally, remember death. So go dig up a skull or pick up a foam one at the craft store if you're less adventurous. Put it on your desk and let its cavernous eye sockets stare into the depths of your procrastinating soul until you remember you're going to die and you shouldn't be procrastinating. Cool. How's that working for everyone? Is being ever reminded of your death helping you to stop procrastinating your term papers, your book reports? No? How about your calls to that family member you haven't spoken to in a while? How about the making of those plans with that friend you keep saying you need to catch up with? It's not helping much at all, is it? Well, to be fair to the ancient Stoics, it really should be helping. It should motivate you to action. The fact that you're running out of time and you have no idea how quickly. But it doesn't seem to, does it? For some reason, this thought seems, these days, more likely to freeze us in the moment between fight and flight, where we're thinking about what to do, but haven't committed to any choice or action. Ah, I'm gonna die, I'm running out of time, so which thing should I do before I die? Oh my God, I can't decide. Ah! And then we feel mentally exhausted, so we wind up taking a nap and doing nothing, and when we wake up, we feel guilty that we napped instead of doing something on that long list of things we need to do before we die, and so we say, oh, we'll do something now, for sure, and then, but what? And then screams and more naps and more guilt. Stoicism doesn't, in this case, seem to be helping us too much. It may even seem to be making everything worse. So here's what's going to happen in today's episode. First, we're going to talk about our obsession with productivity as human beings. Second, we're going to talk about the ills of doing too much. Third, we're going to talk about how to change our mindset. I know that might be a triggering word for some people who don't like self-helpy things, but trust me, okay, you've been listening to this podcast a long time. It's going to be okay. How to change our mindset so that remembering our mortality isn't a trigger to us, but is instead exactly what the Stoics thought it should have been, a gentle motivator to keep us all on target. Lastly, we're going to talk about how a plan does more to solve procrastination than does any number of skulls on your desk, reminding you that you're going to die at any moment. First, though, a warm welcome to new patrons. A big old thank you and warm welcome to Paul Magana, to Beth Campbell Duke. Welcome back, Beth. To Todd Nichols, to Oliver Weil, to Mr. Jake the Walrus Emperor. Welcome, my liege. And to Powered Patarapop. I think I got that right, Powered Patarapop. I hope I did. I'm so sorry if I didn't. If you would like to become a patron of this show and support my work, go to stoicismpod.com/members. You'll get an ad-free version of the show and a bunch of other stuff, and also my gratitude. And with that, let's start today's episode. Procrastination. Goodness. It's a real son of a gun, isn't it? It makes no logical sense either, which makes it all the more frustrating. And as someone with ADHD, the relationship I have with procrastination is cranked up to 11. But the truth is, at least I think, everyone procrastinates at least a little, and all, seemingly, for the same combination of reasons, though in varying doses of each reason, I'm sure. We'll start with social expectations. Society expects us to get work done. Now, when I say society, I'm speaking primarily about Western society because that's where I'm from, but I don't think this is excluded from most societies. There is a premium on getting stuff done. And once we're done with that work, society expects us to use the time we've saved to do more work. And you know this if you've ever finished early at the office. You can't just go home 2 hours early. That would be insane, and your boss would not allow it. They'd probably insist instead, why don't you use this extra time you have to get a head start on tomorrow? There doesn't seem to be any such thing as done. There's only such thing as done with this particular set of activities, and then there's always more activities. This isn't objectively true, but it does seem to be socially and experientially true. Objectively, you don't have to do anything ever, but if you finished your work 2 hours early and left the office, you'd get 2 hours less money on your paycheck, or more likely, you'd get fired. So in the West, we seem jammed into this framework of expectations that we've got things to do, and if we get them done quickly, we can do the next thing sooner. And if we keep this up, we might be able to create a buffer of time for us to do nothing and truly relax before having to start working again. It's like laying track in front of a moving train. If you're fast enough, you could lay a few miles ahead of the train and then sit down and have a coffee before the train showed on the horizon and you had to start laying track again. The thing is, trains have brakes. They can stop. But both you and those trains have been trained that trains don't stop and people don't stop working. If trains stop moving, progress stops being made. If you stop working, you'll cause progress to stop being made. And so it all hinges on you. And you'd better lay that track and be thankful for the opportunity to participate. When we lay track fast enough, we get the weekends. Some of us, anyway. But we've been laying track for 5 days straight, probably 12 hours a day. And we're going to spend Saturday trying to get into relaxed mode. And then we're going to spend Sunday getting into, oh my God, I didn't relax enough, and now it's time to get ready for work again mode. There seems to be no time to relax, even when we're ahead of the train. No time to turn off and focus on something that isn't work. When was the last time you focused on something that wasn't, in some way, linked to work or negatively impacted by the fact that you had to work? Procrastination cause number one, then, is the seemingly very real reality that there isn't time to fit things in that aren't work. And if they don't fit in on a Saturday, they ain't getting fit. And so maybe we will get to it later. Stoically, does this make any sense? Is it stoic to live your life prioritizing such indifferent things as trains and corporate progress, for example? It certainly isn't. In fact, it is very likely unstoic to prioritize your productivity over everything else, especially when you're only done prioritizing productivity when there's not a spare minute to work against your utilization, a terrible metric I'm sure many of you are familiar with, is to leave no time for anything else. How can a stoic be a stoic if the entirety of their focus is aimed at freeing up time, meeting deadlines, or getting ahead? Where's the time with nature? Where's service to the cosmopolis? Where's the rest of you? Do you think Epictetus ever had a conversation about productivity with his fellow philosophers? Could you imagine such a thing? Hey, Rufus, I'm really trying to teach as many people as I can today. How can I block out schedules, automate enrollment, and maximize student productivity such that there's never a moment where I'm not teaching unless I'm sleeping? As if he wouldn't have been a good teacher if he wasn't teaching every minute he was awake. That's a stupid thought, isn't it? Well, why do we so easily recognize it in that example, but not in our own lives? We spend every waking hour maximizing productivity as if the only way we're working hard enough is if we're not wasting time, and as if any use of time that isn't working would be improper and a waste of time. Why do we do that if we know it's stupid? So even though we know it's dumb, we live in the endless hell of productivity. Maybe it's because we're unaware of it. Or maybe it's because we have no idea how not to live that way. After all, when you live in a fishbowl with a bunch of other fish, and you feel like maybe the right thing to do is to breathe air, but everyone else is breathing water, it's kind of hard to start breathing air and still be accepted by the society in which you live. And that's because fish who breathe air die. But hopefully, no matter how flimsy that metaphor was, you get it. It's easy to become a product of your environment when there seems like no other way to do things without becoming a social leper or being viewed as a total weirdo. But maybe we should spend some time every now and then asking ourselves how bad it is to be a weirdo. Because the fallout of this productivity mindset is burnout. And as someone presently dealing with that problem, after 3 very challenging years full of a lot of change and it feels like no sleep, and since my son will be here soon, it may even be even less sleep, all accumulating in more success than I've ever experienced, but which I now don't know how to enjoy because I can't stop trying to fill my time with countless tasks, I know all about how terrible burnout, real burnout, is. Anxiety, depression, a feeling of having no aim or direction, a feeling of uselessness or laziness, conditions of grave sin in our productivity and utilization-obsessed world, and a feeling also of guilt, because for goodness sake, how can I feel this way when I'm finally where I've spent 15 years of my life trying to get? Full-time podcasting, a published book, living abroad, a wonderful wife, a healthy baby boy on the way. How could I possibly be such a self-absorbed dingus to feel depressed? What is there to be depressed about exactly? I'm sure you know what this feels like. Seems like COVID resulted in a lot of people coming very quickly to familiarity with these sorts of feelings and questions. These things are the result of habituating vicious behaviors. We spend years figuring out how to fit into the system we exist in, then years more working to actually fit into it and doing all the things we believe are necessary to do so. Then, one day, we wake up thinking, holy shit, this feels terrible. And it always seems to happen once we realize there are far more important things than fitting in and becoming successful according to other people's definitions. Have you seen that meme about adulthood being mostly about healing childhood trauma? Well, I don't think it's entirely off the mark. Except adulthood doesn't seem to start in earnest until, these days anyway, your late 30s or early 40s. And you're not dealing with childhood trauma, you're instead confronted with the truth that you've spent 30 to 40 years ignoring something way more important. Your own personal development and fulfillment. And that is a shit feeling to those of us of a certain age who have certainly come to know it, and it is why we get so frustrated at younger people when we see them doing the same thing, but they have to learn the same way we did, of course. And maybe that's how it has to happen, or maybe that's just the way it has to happen within a society like ours. Regardless, when we spend a good chunk of our lives working towards conformity, as we initially understand it, instead of towards virtue from the outset, we wind up, inevitably, feeling like we're pinned under a boulder of all our past choices and actions. How could we possibly throw that boulder aside and start anew? That would be such a waste of time, such a slight to productivity and utilization, to have spent all that time working towards something and then just giving it up. How unproductive. And that's where all that habituating really bears its ugliness and teeth. That's when the noose we've mistaken for a tie tightens, and we suddenly feel trapped, imprisoned, repressed, or pinned under a giant boulder. And we stay there for years until our arms give out and the boulder crushes our bodies. And sometimes that is literal. Stress can kill us. Or we could have a psychotic break because we're so effing oppressed by this character we've habituated that we cannot stand to even live anymore. But there's good news. All of that is BS. Let's take a quick break to hear from a couple of the sponsors who help to keep this podcast free and to mellow for a couple of minutes on what we've discussed so far. When you get back, I'll explain why it's all BS. This episode is made possible in part by Factor Meals, and I know that I've raved about this company and service in the past, but forgive me because I'm going to do it again because it is absolutely awesome. Chef-quality meals, each shaped around whatever nutrition methodology you prefer, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, low-carb, keto, whatever floats your boat, delivered to your door every week to help keep you eating the way you want to eat, even on and especially on days where maybe you don't have time to make the choices you want to make. And all of this is customizable to your schedule and lifestyle. At the very least, you need to learn more about it and decide whether or not to give it a try yourself. Head to factormeals.com/practical50, that's practical 50, and use the code practical50 to get 50% off of your first box plus 20% off of your next box. That's practical50 at factormeals.com/practical50 to get 50% off of your first box plus 20% off of your next box while your subscription is active. I have used a lot of commerce platforms in the past. By far, the most robust is Shopify. No matter how complex your business needs and no matter how large your business grows, Shopify can handle it. And they do handle it for brands like Rothy's, Ruggable, Allbirds, Knox, Magnolia, Brooklinen, Glossier, and Cotton, to name a few. You may already use another e-commerce platform and you may be super unhappy with it, but you've already put a lot of work into it and migrating to Shopify could seem impossible. But I'm here to tell you that it is quite easy. When I migrated to Shopify back in 2022, their apps and tools meant I just had to make a few clicks and everything was ported over as if by magic. Shopify also lets you design your storefront however you like, which from personal experience I know isn't the case for many other commerce platforms out there. All these features and all this control can result in more sales more often. So stop leaving sales on the table. Switch your business to Shopify today and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their businesses. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/practical, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/practical. shopify.com/practical. So, why is it all BS? Because if you stop building the track, the train will stop and you can walk away and do something else. You could have stopped any time you wanted. And if you drop the boulder, you'll find it inexplicably floats away and gives you the opportunity to walk away towards an entirely different life. Turns out that boulder was filled with helium the whole time. If you decide to conform to your own view of what is good and appropriate, you'll find that almost no one will actually care. Those that do, they only have the power over you that you give them permission to have, and you can let them go too. And I recognize that even though what I just said is true, it's still hard to realize and to pull the trigger or make the switch. So let's talk about ways you might be motivated to realize that the BS is BS sooner instead of later. The first is memento mori, of course. it is important to remember that you're going to die one day. And it's not necessarily death you're trying to recall by reminding yourself of death, and that might seem counterintuitive, but instead, you're merely trying to remind yourself that time is limited. You have a fixed amount of it, and you can spend it how you please, but it will run out. That means if you spend the next hour doing X, you cannot go back and spend that same hour doing Y. That hour is gone. You can still do Y, but now you're doing it later than you would have if you did it in the first place. And that is fine, so long as the next hour is available to you. If you'd died at the end of the previous hour, you'd never have been given the chance to do Y. Now, this isn't meant to instill anxiety, because it could easily. You could be caught up in, well, I have to make the right choice. What do I choose first in case I die in the next 10 seconds? Instead, it's meant to keep you from forgetting that you don't have all the time in the world to do all the things you believe truly matter to you. And that's not meant to encourage you to climb the corporate ladder or become a millionaire. It's meant to encourage you to identify what matters and to focus on it instead of the millions of other things that don't matter quite as much. What is the thing that matters most? Well, that's up to you. But you are running out of time to focus on that thing or those things once you figure it out. And you cannot forget that. So memento mori does serve a good purpose. It is not, however, expressly about death. It's about opportunity cost. The second is to have a plan. And I find that this is even more useful than recalling memento mori. Memento mori is something you can say to yourself once a week or maybe even once a month, and it's a nice recalibration and recall to focus. But a plan is how you know you're not mucking about planning what you want to achieve in life, and laying out a sequence of actions and choices that get you there is, in my opinion, the absolute best way to avoid anxiety and feelings of being lost. Make the plan. Check in with it. Every week, where are you at? Adjust the plan with any new information you gained that week or month. Then write it down again. Then revisit it again. Having a plan is like having a map, and executing the plan is like following the map. The map is there, you know where you're going, and that feels amazing. And if something blows you off course or something crops up in real life that isn't on the map, no big deal. You still know where you're going. You just need to add new information to the map. You could even change your destination altogether, because part of any map or plan are changes in routes and plans. The other great thing about a map, a plan, is that you can make as many stops on a journey as you like. So-called side quests can be undertaken without the final destination of your journey being lost. Just because you took a left instead of a right because you saw there was a Whataburger off the interstate doesn't mean you can't get back on the interstate and make that left later. Memento mori helps us to take into account the fact that we might die on our way to Whataburger, and so then prompts us to ask ourselves if we want to make that delicious side quest, if it means we might not have time to turn back and go left later. But the map, the plan, helps us to understand what's next in our journey, at least to enough of an extent that we don't feel like we're adrift in a chaotic sea where there's no use planning because who knows what might happen to us out there. The perceptible chaos of life is not a reason not to have a plan. It is, to the contrary, the exact reason why you should. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you found it useful. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you're listening on Spotify, you can open up this episode in the Spotify app, which you must already have it open, and you can leave a comment on this episode. Let me know what you thought. I am also toying with the idea of a stoicism-based life coaching product. I shudder almost even to utter those words, but it is something I'm considering. A lot of you have reached out and asked me for mentoring and things of that nature. I don't know that I could be a mentor, but I think I could be someone who could help people get their, for lack of a better word, shit together and to move forward more confidently. I have no idea what desire there is for something like this, but if it sounds interesting to you, don't leave a comment on Spotify. Instead, just email me, tanner@nosages.com, and let me know if that's something that would be of interest to you. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to be here today and every other Friday and Monday when I release new episodes. I hope you have a great weekend, and until next time, take care.